This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
His name is Kyle. My name is Dan. We're so close, yet feel so far apart.
I know. I miss you, buddy. I can sense you, but I can't touch you.
Exactly. That's weird, but I'll accept it. How you doing, dude?
Yeah, I'm doing good. We're deep into the summer and life is good. And dude, it is for real summer in Iowa. It's been upper 80s, lower 90s for 3 weeks straight. And next week's going to be all 90s. And it's a bummer because I like to be outside and I want to get my kids outside. Mm-hmm. And it's been more indoorsy than I like.
Yeah, I feel that. I know we were coming home from a baseball game last night. And then I had to come back home, get my truck. I had to go to one of my youngest boy's friend's house to pick up his bicycle. So that was 9 o'clock at night. And we were driving back into town and there was somebody mowing their yard at like 9 o'clock. And my daughter was like, that's actually pretty smart. And I was like, dude, I would trip. It was that dark and someone was mowing their yard. So, it's been brutal out. But you know, one thing us Iowans are really good at is bitching about the weather. It's too hot. It's too cold. There's very few of those days where you're just like, I don't know about you, but my favorite days are when the sun is out, but the air temperature is cold enough to wear a hooded sweatshirt all day long. Mm. Those are my favorite days.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. When I was a kid, I liked it hot and sunny. And the older I get, the more I like cool and sunny. Sunny's great. I want the sun, but I don't need it to be hot anymore.
Yeah. As a professional, do you ever see like a correlation between bad weather and how many clients you get?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. So it's really well known that winter is hard on people when the days get shorter and darker and colder. It's called seasonal affective disorder. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have some version of that. It might not be diagnosable seasonal affective disorder, but yeah, when you wake up and it's dark and you go to work and then when you get off, it's already dark again. You can't go outside and you're not getting the vitamin D from the sun and social. A lot of people in the Midwest are less social. When it's cold out, there's less stuff going on. So you have less social contact. You get less exercise because you can be outside less. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're shoveling snow, but a lot of times it's just cold and there's not even snow to shovel. People start to experience a low and, so either I get more clients because of that or, the clients that I have, I notice a dip in their mental well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally a thing.
That's crazy. Is that more of a long-term thing where it's like just the winter or do you feel like two cloudy days in a row can really impact someone's positive energy?
That's a really good question. Definitely with the wind, definitely the winter affects people. I do think that some people are affected by two cloudy days in a row.
Yeah.
I think some people are more sensitive to it than others without having had read any research about this stuff. I do think, having two cloudy days in a row or like, you know, a long rainy week, I think that can really sap people's energy and they feel tired and unmotivated. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I feel like the pace at which my life is being lived right now is, I couldn't even tell you what the temperature was yesterday. It's like, I'm not impacted by, weather because whether I'm working or taking a kid to baseball, if baseball gets canceled, then I'm working or then I can catch up on whatever's going on at the house. I can, here's what's going on, right? I got a broken window in the house. It's not the outside pane, but it's the inside pane. A baseball hit it. It's broken. Our ice machine in our refrigerator isn't working right now. So, you know, I'm getting reminded, hey, why you need to fix this? What's going on? And then, so I could use about a foot of snow right now to be able to take care of some of these issues in the house, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
It's
oh, for
never
sure.
Ends.
Also, it's hilarious that the inside window pane is broken from a baseball.
Exactly. It hit the front with the outside pane first, and then the inside pane broke, which blows my mind.
Oh, I assume that your kids were screwing off with the baseball, which is exactly what my kids would be doing. My kids will play a full-blown soccer match, like power kicking the ball inside. I'm like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Yep. We have a rule in my house where if you throw something and it hits one of my deer mounts, then I get to hit you.
Sorry, honey. It glanced off the deer's nose. Come here. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Good. Other than that, anything worth talking about going on in your world right now?
Yeah, actually, one thing that I've been enjoying recently is I've actually had a few people in my life approach me about listening to our podcast and connecting with it. And that's been pretty cool.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really neat actually that, it was always unexpected when people brought it up and like the general feedback so far, from these few people is that they really connected with what we've talked about in terms of masculinity and, expression of emotions as men and, how I've been surprised at how many awesome men that I know that are in the same boat as me, that their dads never told them they loved them, never hugged them. But they did love them and they just showed it in other ways. But like, I couldn't believe it that they're like, oh yeah. Yeah. I was listening to your podcast. Yeah. That was exactly how it was for me growing up. And then I was like, whoa, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think some of my friends' parents, you know, or dads were more involved. And so I saw some of that. So I guess I didn't see all of the other ones that were like mine that didn't. So that's been a fun thing in my world lately.
Yeah. Funny story that you bring that up. I was on the phone with my dad yesterday and I usually don't tell my dad I love him because it makes him, I don't know if it makes him uncomfortable because he just doesn't say it. Right.
Yeah.
So it kind of slipped. And I said, love you. And he goes, okay. And then he hung up the phone. And so, like, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love me. It's just that's his vibe, dude. Like, I'm not blaming him for anything because he grew up in a time where dads just didn't say that shit. Like, and maybe some dads did, but I'm guessing my uncles on my mom's side and my dad didn't hear that from their dads. And I'm guessing that their dads definitely didn't tell them that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, totally. Yeah. My dad, I actually always tell my dad, that I love him when I say goodbye. And he always says, bye.
Yeah.
One time, and my wife knows this. And my dad's a sweetheart, by the way. Everybody loves my dad. My wife loves my dad. And one time I had him on speakerphone, and he knew he was on speakerphone. And it was time to say goodbye. So I said, all right, bye, Dad. Love you. And he said, I thought he was saying, I love you too. And he goes, I'll let you go. He wasn't messing with me. I just thought he's about to say it. He's like, I'll let you go.
And it's the one thing in life that you really want is to hear your dad say it. And you're like, okay. All right, Dad. I'll see you.
I wonder if my face lit up for a split second or something. He's like, I'll let you go. And I was like, oh, and deflated. And my wife, you know, knows about this. And so she was right there with me. We were both like, oh my God, so close.
So close. Yeah. Oh man, that's funny. Yeah. Okay. This conversation that I kind of want to have, today, kind of is about this, about parenting and dads teaching sons and daughters about life. And because essentially, I think what we said before we started recording today, and I think maybe you agreed with it a little bit, but essentially parenting is training for your kids to become a good adult, right? In some way, shape, or form. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so I'm trying to find, it's always a work in progress, right? There's obviously not a book on how you should parent, obviously, because each parent is different. Each background is different. Each child is different. Circumstances are different. You know, the environments are different, all that stuff. So you got to teach kids differently. Anyway, I'm going to share something that is happening in our household right now. And I want to talk to you about it because I'm at a point where I want to push, but I don't want to push too hard because I don't want it to backfire at me. Okay. And my wife probably doesn't even want me talking about it because she's worried that, like, oh, it's going to get out into the community. And if it gets out into the community, then we're going to have a target on our back and things like that. And it's just like, oh my God. Okay. Here's the scenario. And I think I talked to you a little bit about this. My daughter, is a fairly decent wrestler. Okay. She's young still. Last year she won a state championship. She is progressing at a very good rate. And there is an opportunity that is going to be had. The state of Iowa has passed a law that said that eighth graders can now participate at a varsity level. Okay. Iowa would be the 25th state to pass this law. I think Minnesota allows it. I know Kentucky allows it. Several others, Florida allows it. And so you start to hear stories of, like, especially in wrestling, you hear, so-and-so was a 6-time state champion because in their state, 7th graders and 8th graders can wrestle on varsity. So you got these studs who come through and they win state, high school state as 7th graders, right?
Really?
That's how good they are. Right.
Wow.
And so, now there's this opportunity, potential opportunity, yet there's still some tiny things that are going to be ironed out, but Ava's going to possibly have the opportunity to wrestle, for a position on the varsity team as an 8th grader this upcoming season, which is, for me, I look at that and I go, this is a gigantic opportunity for you. Whether you win that spot or lose that spot is not the opportunity. The opportunity is that you actually have the chance to wrestle for that spot. And I truly believe that when she wrestles her best, she could probably earn that spot, right? That's how much confidence I have in her. But I don't necessarily know if she sees that opportunity the way I see it, or has the confidence in her own ability to reach out and grab that opportunity. And so my question to you, mostly not as a counselor, but from a dad to dad, how would you suggest having a conversation with my daughter and my wife included about how the magnitude of this opportunity and how big it actually is, and that in order to grab it, there's got to be some work that needs to be done between now and then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a neat opportunity. It's also tricky. One way that I think through stuff like this is basically thinking that I can be a guide and I can lay out perspectives,
mm-hmm.
and then let my child decide, mm-hmm. ultimately. I would want to lay out multiple different perspectives and not just like the path I hope they take.
Mm-hmm.
hey, here's what might happen if you do this. Here's what might happen if you do this. Here's what might happen if you do this. Here's what it would take to do this, so on and so forth, so that she could choose. And then basically, like, whatever you choose, I'm okay with, and whatever you choose, I'll support.
Yeah.
When it comes to, because part of another part of my philosophy is, I'm not going to force them to do something, but once they're in something, then I will, like, really hardcore try to help them
mm-hmm.
reach their goals in it. Like, I don't want to force my kids to be on some elite team because I think it'd be so good for them, only for them to get there and be like, fuck this.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather I want the drive to come from my kid. I want that. I want to do that. And then once they're there, if they're thinking about giving up, that's when I can hold them accountable and push them. And, oh, you said you wanted to be here. And like all these other kids are practicing outside of practice and, you know, all the things. Right.
Yeah.
But I want the original impetus to come from them. I wouldn't be, this is just me. I'm not telling you what to do.
Right.
I personally wouldn't be probably pushing my kid to go in a certain direction. Not too hard anyway. I could let them know that I think it's a good opportunity for these reasons. But I think I would want to lay out in a sincere way the argument both ways. Like I'd say, hey, here's why I could see a person going after this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, here's why I could see somebody not. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to frame it in terms of like, oh, you're a wussy piece of shit if you don't go after this.
Right, right.
I would probably be more inclined to be like, yeah, there's good, you know, I could understand somebody's rationale for not wanting to take this opportunity too.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what's right, what the right decision is for my kid. With the truth of the matter being, you never know what the right decision's going to be. And because you can't predict the future, it's not a guarantee that if she goes after this, that it's going to be awesome. It's also not a guarantee that if she doesn't, it'll be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Developmentally, it could be really good for her if she didn't go after it and just kept whooping the shit out of girls her age. Also, the girls, you never know if she goes on varsity, like maybe the other girls are super cool to her. Maybe they're not. Like, you don't mm-hmm. know any of this.
Yeah.
It could all be awesome. It could not be awesome, but tell you one thing, she's probably a lot more likely to stick with hardship if it was her choice to begin with.
Yeah. So she has voiced that she wants it.
Okay.
She has even voiced that she would even be willing to transfer schools uh-huh. if our school did not allow it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so she sounds like she wants it. But I think the trouble that I'm having is educating her on the amount of work that it's going to take if she truly does want it. Right? Okay. Like, she says she wants it. She wants to be on the varsity team next year. She thinks that she can do it, but I think she can do it too. But there's a road that has to be traveled, and that road is bumpy, and that road has I need words like dedication. I need words like perseverance. I need to, for her to understand that these are hefty goals, and I am a father. I am a father. So for example, I am willing to give her additional lessons, financially support her in this, drive her to where she needs to be. I'm the time and money. I'm willing to do all of that. Unfortunately, I can't put that work in. And so eventually she is going to be the one that has to put the work in and dedicate it. So I'm teaching. I want her to. Not just, I'm trying to teach her in life to have, like, it's awesome to have goals, but behind every goal comes a work ethic that needs to happen. Right. And so in order to reach that goal, you gotta check off these boxes in order to get there. Now, I do want to say this. I would never do this to my two sons. One, they're not old enough. For a certain, like, let's say if this was their age, and mentally, I don't think, and this is no dig on my sons, but they're mentally not there yet to handle pressure like this.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is. And actually, she responds well to pressure in a sense. So I'm trying to balance how hard I push this thing on her because I put pressure on her and she, before this, and she's a state champion.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want to put the same amount of pressure on her to accomplish this. And I don't even care if she wins the spot. I just feel like this is a great opportunity for her. And I think she knows it, but I don't think she knows how hard she's going to have to work to accomplish it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so where's the friction in that? Is it that you're trying to get her to work hard and she's going, no, I think I'm good, or?
Cause she's constantly going to, like, she's consistently going to wrestling practices.
Right. So what's the problem, I guess, is what I'm wondering.
The problem is that there's a volume button that needs to be turned up. More. Harder.
Okay.
More aggressive.
How do you know that? If she's already doing it, sounds like you're, help me understand, because it sounds like she's working really hard. Sounds she's like she's going, doing all the things. Sounds like she's right on board with you, so.
She's going through the motions.
Okay.
And in order to accomplish this goal, the volume and aggression needs to be turned up a little bit. And you no longer have to go through the motions. You have to push yourself to uncomfortable places that you have never been before. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. 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 Now, tell me, in my experience, a person thinks they're good until they encounter someone that's better.
And then 100%.
They go, oh, there's levels.
There's levels. and that then, happened then when she was in.
Intrinsic. Then they get the intrinsic, oh, time to turn it up. So when do you think is going to be her next opportunity to come in contact with somebody that shows her that there's levels that might make her go, ooh, it's time to get better?
Yeah. So that happened already this summer when we went to Indiana for that freestyle tournament.
Uh-huh.
And she met girls that just, it was like wrestling a glass of water. That's how fluid they were. Right. And that's how good that they were. Right. Uh-huh. Couldn't get a hold of them. They slip through, they go to their spot, roller. Next thing you know, you're on your back looking at the lights. Right. And so that happened. And so I'm hoping that maybe played a role. Also, I've encouraged her, like, it's very important in wrestling to have good partners, like to go out and seek. You got a room full of girls. There's even like state place winners in this room that she wrestles in. Go out and seek those girls and be like, I'm trying to, right? So I'm also not only trying to teach her that, but also how to not be shy and how it's okay to walk up to someone and tell them what you want, right? Like, that's one thing that I noticed that I've been doing a lot lately in my life, and I think that is something that takes older. But I'm not wasting my time beating around the bush in my life. And I'd love to hear where you're at. Cause if I think it, I say it, and I tell people exactly how I feel, because I feel like if I don't, it's just like wasted. My time and energy are being wasted.
All right, guys, you know me, and I love eating wild game. But I don't eat wild game every single night. Every once in a while, I'll reach for a side of beef. And that's why I trust Omaha Steaks. Because Omaha Steaks are sent directly to my door, I can keep my freezer stocked without having to go to the grocery store. It's honestly like having a trusted butcher and gourmet food shop right at your house. Last week, I pulled out their pure ground ribeye burgers for a quick grill session. The flavor and marbling was unreal, rich, juicy, and miles ahead of any average grocery store meat. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF,
for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
Mic yeah, check.
I think your internet's, I don't know if your internet or my internet's going a little wonky.
Let me, call downstairs and have them unplug.
Place a phone call.
Yeah. Could be yours, could be mine. I'm saying I have full bars, so.
Yeah, I do too. Mine's good. I just did a speed test on mine.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you good. You were just freezing.
Okay. Let me shut the Wi-Fi off.
It was really good until like a minute ago.
Okay. Let me just shut the Wi-Fi off on my phone. Maybe that will do something to it. Okay. All right. We'll just keep going. Did you hear everything that I was saying?
I think I did.
Okay. So I'll just let you pick up right now.
Okay. So it sounds like she has the want and the desire. I'm glad that she's had the experience where she's not just killing everybody based on the level of work that she's already been doing. Sometimes the road teaches the traveler.
Yeah.
You know, if like you can say all the things and that doesn't mean that she's going to internalize it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't say all the things. Cause I think saying the things and leading by example plants seeds. And also like that's the environment that she lives in. So I think it's cool for you to be expressive and don't hold back your thoughts and feelings, but also recognize that let her put in as much work and work as hard as she does, and then let her bump up against the next thing and then see how she responds to that. It's her life.
I guess part of that is I'm trying to prepare her for that next thing, because ultimately that next thing has big implications on whether or not she gets to accomplish her goal or not.
Okay, what's the next thing? Like, does she have to prove that she can handle it to be on varsity? So
part of this is going to be a coach's evaluation.
Yeah.
Right? Of whether or not an eighth grader is deemed good enough to be on the varsity. Right? So there's always that little worry that maybe there's going to be some politics involved. Right? Which has... that's out of my control, right? Like I can't. And this is why I love the sport of wrestling. 1v1, same weight, same rules. Go at it, right? If you win, congratulations, you won, right? And then now she becomes a teammate, and now she's responsible for pushing that individual herself so that she becomes better, and she is now a good wrestler. The outcome is not what I necessarily care about. I want her to be ready for the opportunity when it does come.
Right. Is there anything that she's avoiding or holding back from?
I personally feel like that.
Yeah.
I feel like I watch her and I'm like, for example, the other night in practice, she got taken down
by a wrestler that was not as good as her, right? Ava has wrestled her before, beat her every time. And we have these little father-daughter talks on the drive home. We talk about wrestling or on the way there. And I'm just like, I'm going to be completely honest with you. That girl should never, ever take you down, ever. Right? There's no scenario which you, like, unless you're trying a new move that that you're working on and you missed it or something like that, that's the only time. But if it's head to head live wrestling, I don't see a scenario where you lose against this person, because it matters. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where, were you wrestling hard enough? Or did you give up somewhere in this little takedown scenario? Mm-hmm. And those are the things that, I know there's a part of me that understands, in order for her to get better, she has to want it. And I'm trying to, as a dad, and I know for a fact other people do this, and I'm probably guilty of it as well, wanting it more than they do, you know? And I'm not necessarily, I don't necessarily want it personally. I'm just trying to convince her that she's good enough for this. Yeah. And I think there's a hurdle, there's a disconnect somewhere of her believing that and her then putting in the work to achieve that. And mm-hmm. I don't know what the right answer there is.
Yeah. Have you asked her about that? Like, hey, I think you're good enough. I'm not sure if you think you're good enough.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, at the beginning of the state tournament this year, I looked at her and I said, your future holds a state championship. Whether that's this year, next year, or whatever it is, you're going to be a state champion. The only thing you have to do is reach out and take it. Take it from these people who are trying to stop you. And I'm like trying to hype her up and boost her confidence. And I tell her things like, you have the skill set. Now go and take it. Right. And, you know, like, without sounding like too much of an alpha male, I'm trying to teach her to have a killer mentality. And once you step on the mat, you turn into someone who doesn't care about your feelings or emotions. You turn into a killer. And then the second you step off the mat, you can go to being happy-go-lucky again, right?
Yeah.
But right. There's got to be I call it the switch. It's like in the movie Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone. He turns his hat backwards. He's like, it's like a switch. And then he beats people, right? And so I'm trying to teach my kids the switch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not just in sports, but in life as well. Because guys like us know, you want to start your own business or do your own thing, you got to have a switch to turn on the seriousness mode and things like that. And I'm trying to teach my kids that hard work pays off. Uh-huh. Anyway, I don't know where all that goes. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel like I have an awesome answer for you. I'm actually going to be really interested to see how it all plays out.
Yeah. Yep. How hard do you push your kids? And I'm not talking about necessarily in sports or even school, but just like in it's chore time, right? Like, I said, it's chore time now. Like, yeah. I gave you an opportunity to do it. You decided not to do it. Now you're on my time and my terms, and it's going to happen. And then they throw their fits and things like that, but then they're going to do it. Right. So how hard do you push your family in that?
Yeah. That's a good question. I have to wrap my mind around that for a minute. I try to make it when it's time to do the thing, I try to make it that there's no other option. It's what we're doing right now. When you're not going to whine your way out of it. If you're going to be pouty and whatnot, you can be pouty for as long as you want to be. And as soon as you're done, then you're going to do the chore. You're not doing anything fun until that's done. They're big enough that I don't physically like pick them up and make them do the thing, but I'm basically like, because I did when they were little. Yep. But now they're older. I'm like, well, here's the expectation. You're not doing anything else until this expectation is completed. I don't care if it takes you 5 minutes or 5 hours. Now it's on you. Like, you're not going to be on any electronics. You're not going to be playing. You're not going to be watching TV. You're not going to be doing anything until you do the thing that I said you need to do.
Right.
And the thing I said you need to do will only take you 10 minutes or 15 minutes if you do it, but mm-hmm. you could make it take 5 hours and 15 minutes if you want, if you have yep. a bad attitude, or you could just bang it out and be done and then move on.
Yep.
So then I try to just leave it in their hands, but I do control the environment to, like, they're not going to be enjoying themselves in the meantime.
Right. Right. Like, that's what I do.
Yeah. 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 You know, one thing that I struggle with regarding like sports performance specifically, I guess I'll say, is like I'm a little perplexed by my son, because he's a really good athlete, but sometimes he doesn't want to go to practice, and I'm trying really hard to learn him, and I'm realizing it's not like my initial, when he pulls that stuff, it really grates at me. Mm-hmm. I really don't like it. I think when you commit to something, you have to do it. There's no not doing a thing that you said you were going to do. And if you say you want to be on a team and you join the team, like, you go to every practice and it's not an option and da 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 da. What I'm learning about him is like, I think school takes a lot out of him. And when he gets home, he's like exhausted and he needs downtime. Yeah. And so I think the resistance that I've seen from him is more around like when he's really worn out, then he doesn't want to go to the thing. And so I've basically, like, there have been times where he didn't go to practice. And I said, if you choose to go to practice tonight, you are not going to be staying home playing on electronics and playing games. Like, you get none of that. You will be doing chores, or you can read, or you can play with your sister, but you're not going to sit around like a couch potato.
Yeah.
And so I take all that away if he chooses to stay home from practice. It's a thing that I, you know, you were like, well, how hard do I push? That's a place where I've struggled, because it goes against the grain of how I think.
Yeah.
It's a thing that I hope that he grows out of. And I've had to be careful to not classify it as a character flaw of his, and instead to recognize that it's a function of how tired and worn out he is. So in those moments, like, you know, he's only 6, 7, 8 years old at these times that he's like refused to go to practice. And so then I'm like, well, geez, these are formative years. This is when you learn if it's okay to skip practice or not. And then I've also, on the other side of that same coin, been like, geez, I don't want to force him to go kicking and screaming, and then he hates it, and then he hates that sport forever. So, like, which path do I take? And so when I have a sense, if I have a sense that he's being lazy, then I want him to go to practice. If I have a sense that he's like overwhelmed and exhausted, and that's why he's not wanting to go, then I'll not always, but sometimes let him not go, because I don't want him to hate the sport.
Yeah.
Tricky. And I feel every time I've let him stay home from practice, it hasn't felt good to me.
Yeah.
But also every time I've let him stay home from practice, the writing was on the wall that like a lot of time, if I let him stay home from practice, he'll like pass out at like 6 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh my God, this kid was absolutely exhausted. Yeah. I do think it was the right decision to let him stay home. But like, dude, that's really hard for me.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever was like, I don't want to go, I don't want to do it. Like, if I signed up for a thing, I wouldn't. I felt like I had to go.
Right. Have you ever forced him to go to a practice? And then when you have forced him to go to a practice, does he drag his feet the entire practice, or does he just kind of get into it and now he's back and he's ready to go in those practices?
Yeah. Well, I think every time I forced him to go, he ended up like doing a good job in practice.
Yeah.
I've never seen him drag his feet in any athletic thing. Like, once he gets there, he's so competitive that once he gets there, like, the competitive spirit takes over.
Right.
But the time, I will say though, the times that I kept him home is probably the right decision, because he almost always like was so exhausted that I think mm-hmm. it would have been bad for him to have gone. So it's a thing right. I'm keeping an eye on. I'll be really interested to see how that goes. He needs downtime after school, that's for damn sure. So I hope that yeah. practice is a little later so that he can come home and relax and then go
relax, get compete. Some food in his stomach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I got another like little scenario where my oldest boy is all in on baseball. Like uh-huh. he's all in, like that's all he wants to do. That's all he talks about, you know? And so he doesn't want to play football. He doesn't want to wrestle anymore. He doesn't want to, he's not been a basketball player or anything else. It's 100% baseball. And I'm okay with that. But I told him, you're not going to be sitting around this winter, you know, from, you know, we might do some fall ball baseball with him where it'll be done by mid-October. And so November and December are 2 months where he's not going to be doing anything. And so I'm thinking about this, and I want you to tell me maybe the pros and cons of this. I'm thinking about telling him he has to go to wrestling. Okay. And he doesn't have to compete. He just has to go 2 times a week to do the practices, to stay healthy. And I'm going to position it that it's going to be better for him for baseball. It's going to keep him active and his tendons stretched out for baseball, as opposed to not doing anything, right? I could take him to the batting cage and things like that, but all the statistics show that a kid who is in multiple sports in the early years go further in a single sport as they get, when they get older and do make the decision to only commit to one sport. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that?
Why do you think multiple sport athletes go farther in a single sport later on? What's the rationale behind that?
The rationale is that they are active, you know, they are like their athletic ability isn't honed to one skill set. The way the body moves, the functionality, they're going side to side in one sport, and the other sport they're going back and forth, jumping mm-hmm. up and down. You know, sport of wrestling is obviously really physical and you're bouncing up and down and moving. Baseball, there's a lot of torso movements, you know, whatever the case is, it's just the more you do that, the more limber your body becomes and the better overall athlete you become. And what, you know, scientists have find out is that overall athletes perform better at a single sport when they get older. It's because they've already gone through all of that yeah. body. As they grow, their body yeah. needs to be mobile and flexible and strong. And you yeah. get that when you're participating in sports and different sports all year round.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've heard people talk about it, but I haven't ever read anything about it. I would also guess that, especially these young kids, that like if you're a multiple sport athlete, you're less likely to get burned out of the sport that you do like.
Exactly. That
your general excitement can carry you through, but I've actually seen this happen, that kids that were like studs at say baseball, just absolutely kill it all the way through, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, freshman year of high school. And sometimes by that point, they're like, all right, I've had enough of this. All I've ever done my whole childhood is baseball all summer, fall ball, then trained all winter, then back mm-hmm. to summer baseball. And like, yeah. So I personally see value in being a multiple sport athlete.
Yeah.
How likely is he to go for that?
I think there will be some resistance there. Mm-hmm. And if it's not that, I might do an exercise program with him or something.
Right. That's where my mind was going. Like, I agree yeah. with you that something should be something.
Right. Because I just don't want him sitting around doing nothing while yeah. it's like, okay, well, you don't have anything going on tonight, but guess what? I got to take the other two to their events. And now you're just sitting at home while there's no parents in the house or while, you know, there's nothing going on. And so I'm thinking about basically saying, hey, listen, if you're not going to do anything, there will be a mandatory workout program that you're going to do. And that may sound harsh to certain people, but like, I don't know why. And tell me, maybe this is my own self-conscious speaking, but I don't want to raise soft kids. Like, I don't want to raise weak-minded, physically weak children.
And no, I hear you. I think comfort is one of the worst addictions a person can have. You know, it could be like, hey, default, you're going to wrestling twice a week unless you have a different proposal. You know, or you could give them options like default is going to be wrestling twice a week, or you could, or you, I could put you through this exercise program, or you could join swimming or, you know, something, but you have to be active. You're not going to be just rotting on the couch. So let's talk about what that thing's going to be like. You're doing something. That's the non-negotiable. What it is, we can talk about.
Almost put it in his hands, let him make the decision, ultimately on what I actually want, which is for him to be active. I like that idea. I like that idea.
I'm also with you that like we get to decide what's best for our kids, you know, and we get to decide what type of human we want to raise and how we want to do that and the opportunities that we want to give our kids and the obstacles that we put in front of them and, put in front of them to challenge them to grow, not to hinder them. So, I wouldn't want to stand in any parent's way that's thinking in terms of long-term growth for their kid.
And that kind of comes back to this thing where, like, I'm in charge, mom and dad are in charge. We're going to tell you what you should do. And I'm the, my internal dad debate that I have with myself is how hard do I push these kids? Just for, with your experience with people who are maybe in some way, shape or form struggling, what would be some key indicators that I should be aware of maybe I'm pushing a person too hard or a kid or another person too hard?
I think if they're turning something that they love into something they hate, I think that's a pretty clear indicator. If there's something else that they really want to be doing that you're holding them back from, and like, so that's the reason that they're not wanting to do the thing. If you're, so one thing I actually like about your mentality, generally speaking, Dan, is you recognizing that the work is the opportunity, not the winning, that you recognize that growth, like you're excited about the growth. You're not needy for them to win anything. I think that's, since you have that mentality, as you push your kids, you're likely to stay on the healthier side of it because it's not like, hey, you need to win state baseball or you suck and you didn't work hard enough and that's why you didn't win and that's why you suck. You know, it's not like that. It's like, hey, let's work on being a strong person. Let's work on developing good work ethic. Let's work on determination. Like these are just things that will benefit them as they go. So I really like your focus on the path and not the goal. The goal is awesome, but really what you're trying to cultivate is the type of person that they are. You're not focusing on collecting accolades. So for that reason right there, I think like that you have a family value. It sounds like you're trying to establish family values, and I really respect that. And I think when you take the time to establish family values, what you're doing is you're giving your kids a compass for life. Right. Like they're going to know what to do. They're going to know what direction to go. They're going to be able to use the values that you've instilled in them as decision-making guides. Mm-hmm. What should I do here? Well, there's no guarantee of success. I just know I have to work hard. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, that's great. Yeah. To take the focus off of like, you have to win, and to put the focus on, you have to work hard and you have to challenge yourself and you have to get outside of your comfort zone and you can't let yourself atrophy and all these things. To me, those are family values. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of respect for that. And I don't necessarily think you should back off of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever and have also, to?
One more thing. Like,
yep.
As long as you're not being like a dick and tearing them down, like don't ever tear them down, but like it might take a while for these things to sink in, you know?
Yeah.
So there might be some time where you're pushing them and they don't like it and they're not happy with you. But as long as you're not showing them that your love is conditional based on if they do the things or not, you love them right. No matter what, you're trying mm-hmm. to build them up. I feel like at some point it's likely to click.
Yeah.
And then, actually another thing you said, I know I'm going on a little bit of a
tirade. No, go for it. I like this.
You know, another thing that I appreciate is that you do have a sense of like where each of your kids is at mentally. And so you'll push each one appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good too. Instead of like, you've probably seen parents that, I've seen parents that push their kids way too hard and I'm looking at them going, whoa, dude, your kid is obviously like not ready for what you're doing right now. Like you are, I'm like watching these people. This is going to be more grandiose than it really is, but like I'm watching these guys like destroy their kids.
Oh yeah.
You know? And I'm like, oh, yeah. But then I see other parents that are like pushing their kids and I'm like, yeah, kid, come on, bud. You're right there. You're right mm-hmm. there, kid. Step up. You got it. So I think you're closer to the latter where it's like you're not expecting things that are way outside of your kid's reach. You're paying attention to where they're at and then trying to put the carrot a little farther. So right. I think that's a good thing too.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Have you ever in your practice, have you ever had to or how do I position this? Have you ever had to put pressure on any of your clients, to basically like shit or get off the pot, like mm-hmm. that type of pressure where, maybe you see something in them that they don't see in themselves yet. And then you turn the heat up on them a little bit to
yeah.
expose that. So they then realize it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. Actually, I think that happens pretty often in counseling. A major difference between counseling and like my personal life is people are coming to me
mm-hmm.
for counseling. They've already identified themselves as wanting to be pushed. And that's actually a conversation that I often have at the beginning of counseling is, how much do you want to be pushed and how much are yep. you okay being challenged? And part of counseling is me challenging you. Mm-hmm. And I'll never be a jerk, but there might be times that I have to get really real with you. And, so we have those conversations and to a person, they're always like, yeah, yeah, I want that. I want that. And so then sometimes the time comes and I say, hey, can I give you some feedback that might be hard to hear? And they always say, yeah, I want to hear it. And then I say the thing and, you know, oftentimes they respond really well to that. So
yeah.
That's all that tends to be based on relationship. Like I don't pull that move until I'm pretty sure that they're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Also a philosophy I use is, you know, objects in motion tend to stay in motion. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. Sometimes it's really hard for that person to be their own outside force. And so then yeah. I can be that outside force. And so that's when I'll be like, hey, listen, you say you want this, but you're not acting like you want that.
Yeah.
So like, what would be a thing that, what would be one example of a thing that you could do that would be in the direction of the thing that you actually want? And then like, well, this would be an example of that. And I say, your assignment is you have to do that between now and the next time I see you. The next time I see you, I want to hear from you that you did this thing. Or that you at least tried, you know, going back to how you were saying it earlier, that you tried. You can't, maybe somebody's like scared to have a conversation with somebody because they're afraid of how it's going to go. Like, yeah. Okay, that the conversation doesn't have to be successful, but I want to hear that you tried to initiate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, so I do have to put, I do have to hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
Which you'll probably, yeah, you might not, like, hey, Ava, you said you wanted to X, Y, and Z. I'm just trying to hold your feet to the fire here. I'm just trying to like call you out and show you that you said you wanted this. Like, I'm not sure that your behaviors are aligning with that right now. And that's not a put down. It's just an observation. You know, yeah. I just wonder what you'll do with that, which is right. Another thing that I learned, which is less like, I want you to do this. And it's more, oh, here's something I'm noticing. I wonder what you'll do with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. I like that.
You're not doing this for me. You're doing it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, let's be real. One of the biggest weaknesses of people in general are being afraid to put in the work. Everybody says, I wish I had this. I wish I had that, but no one wants to actually put in the work to do that. Right. And then you got the guys like David Goggins, you know who he is, right? He's just like, I will do whatever it takes to do this. And I will put myself in any position I need to put myself in. If I fail, I'm going to keep coming. And those are the most dangerous people in this world from a goal accomplishment standpoint, because they're going to, at some point, they're going to accomplish their goal. That mindset, that like having that kind of mindset. And ultimately that is what I'm trying to teach my kids, is that when an obstacle is in front of you, you have options. You can turn around and walk away from it, or you can crush it and walk right through it, or jump over it, or swim underneath of it, or go, you know, whatever you need to do. Right.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's more of a mindset thing, now that I say it out loud, is that what I'm trying to teach.
Dude, and you might even consider, maybe this is corny, so push back if you want, but you know, you might even consider showing her a David Goggins video, mm-hmm. or showing her some motivational videos of people that have stepped up and tried hard things and done hard things.
Yeah.
It might be helpful for her to hear it from someone other than you.
Yeah.
She might have some defenses that come up when you start talking.
Yeah.
That might not, messages that might get through from somebody else, you know, even if it's just a video. You know, I'm 43 years old. Like, some of my closest friends that I really look up to because of how well they take care of themselves, how hard they work, like how strong of people they are. They watch motivational videos, mm-hmm. you know, and they're filling their head with that content. At all times, they're basting their brain in those messages, because that's the type of person that they want to be. So they're always priming their brain to think and feel that way. So, you know, you might consider other ways to deliver the same message. Or, you know, I've seen this as like a new thing. You could do some version of this potentially, of there will be like varsity mentors, or like, you know, college mentors that you can set up with your kid, where they basically just have a meeting and talk about, hey, here's what I've done. Here's been my mm-hmm. path. Here's all the lessons I had to learn the hard way. Here's what I wish I wouldn't have done. Here's what I wish I would have done. Here's what I'm glad I did. Here's mm-hmm. what my dad told me. Here's how all that panned out, all that stuff. And then sometimes when the young athlete hears it from like the older athlete that they would look up to, they go, yeah, okay, all right, cool. You know, and they can talk about the mentality, like, oh yeah, when I was in eighth grade, I was really good and da da da, but I was really afraid of these older kids. And, mm-hmm. and I was, since I was so successful, then I actually made me scared to wrestle better people, because I didn't want to start losing, because that was like one good thing that I had about myself. Like, they might be able to call out some mentality that you're not able to put your finger on. So that's just another idea of, you know, potentially finding some mentor or role model that you could set her up with. And also one more thing that I did want to say was, whenever we do these podcasts and we talk about our families and we talk about our kids, like, there's always this part in the back of my mind that's like, how would my kid feel listening to this?
100%. Yeah.
Listen to me talk about them. So I did just want to I should have prefaced this at the beginning, but you know, if our kids ever listen this deep into it, we're only talking about them because we love them. We're now at the fringes splitting hairs of I think my kid is so awesome that I'm really trying to think about where to push them. So I want our kids to know that we think that they're awesome. Yeah. Our kids are the shit. We love them unconditionally, no matter what. Mm-hmm. These are thoughts and feelings that parents struggle with when they're trying to figure out what the best thing is to do with their kids. So, I would guess that our kids will likely be in a similar situation 20 years from now when they've got their own kids and they're trying to figure out what the fuck to do.
Yeah.
So I don't want them to think, I don't want it to come off like we're being critical and thinking our kids are weak or anything like that. I think it's the exact opposite. We think the world of our kids, and we're just being, pretty open and transparent about, I think these are thoughts that goes through parents' heads. And I think that's one reason why this podcast is useful.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. I had a conversation with my son the other night because I heard someone, if I hear something good online, I repeat it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I listened to this little clip about a guy saying, we got to make sure that we are telling our kids that not just that we love them when they do good, but make sure you celebrate all of the low points in their life too. And so I went down to my buddy or my son and I said, buddy, I just want to let you know you're having an outstanding baseball season this year. But even if you struck out every single time and you dropped every single pop fly that came your way, I would still love you no matter what. And I love you because you're my son and that will never change and things like that. And also said and you're a good person. And so I want to make sure that I'm celebrating them and not the baseball version of them or the wrestling version of them, because my kids are genuinely good kids. And I want to make sure I am as a dad, I'm celebrating that more than the wrestling. And I even get caught up in that sometimes that I need to stop and go, okay, this is important, but it's not the most important.
Yeah. 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 Beautiful message. I appreciate that you interjected that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kyle, man, absolutely great conversation. And actually gave me a little bit of guidance on how I should approach, some of these upcoming conversations and goals that, I need to discuss with certain people or how to act and thanks for the guidance, dude. I always appreciate it.
Hey, love talking to you.
Yep. All right. Do me a favor real quick, everybody. If you're still listening to this, go to Spotify, go to Apple Podcasts, wherever you download and listen to this. Give us a 5-star review. Let everybody know that you enjoy this podcast. Also, make sure you are subscribed as well. And you're following along very closely. And then also go subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, so you can look at our beautiful faces. If that in fact is what you're into, I guess. If that's your niche is, 40-year-old dads, go check that out, subscribe, and, everybody, we'll see you next week. Kyle, we'll see you next week.
Yes, you will.